Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And this is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, with Brighton and Fulham in action last night, we spoke to representatives of both clubs among the fans.
We did. We tried to set up a rivalry.
Yeah, we did. We tried to... There was no needle involved. They're just two very nice clubs and two very nice people, so you'll hear from them. We also chatted to comedian Dane Baptiste, a big Arsenal fan. He was talking a bit of football and telling us about his new show. And we had a birthday spread, didn't we?
Extraordinary birthday spread.
And yes, you got involved as well, not in the birthday spread, but in lots of other stuff. So were some of your fine emails, texts, and we talked about the idea of footballers knowing more about their clubs, courtesy of good old Harry Maguire. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Yes, good afternoon, Paul. I was just hearing Jake in the news saying ministers are watching to see if, footballers are going to hug each other. I mean, presumably, you know, Matt Hancock, Gavin Williamson and Rishi Sunak have got more important things to do than check. And I know lots of people, it's just not comparable. I saw Moose was on Breakfast, it was tweeted out saying, you know, hugging your mum is, you know, we all want to hug our parents and our brothers and sisters. It's just not comparable. Unless your mum has put one on a plate for you in the last minute against Actonians, it's a different emotion.
08717.
But yeah, it is a different emotion. It's different. It's a release. It's a learnt behaviour of footballers. I think it's a, should they be doing it? You know, every little helps in this. Probably yeah, not. Is it what's affected the spread of it? Or is that the fact that people are allowed to see each other on Christmas Day? What do you think was more important? I think it's a complete smokescreen. Like Rory Smith tweeted, it's the same as Scotch eggs. You know, if we're going to spend time talking about what's happening in the country, it shouldn't be on whether, you know, Harry Kane hugs Reggie on after that.
Well, you've chosen
header.
A very bad example there, haven't you, really? Well, I think because he did high-five and keep a bit of social distance. We've all had to learn new habits. I suppose one way of looking at it would be that footballers could potentially do that as well. We've all been in situations where we want to engage with someone emotionally and we check ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can all do it, whether on a football pitch or not.
I agree. I just think the comparison between, you know, when I go and see my parents, I walk in the front door. This is pre-pandemic time, before someone runs me. I put my bag down, I take my coat off. I say, all right, mum, all right, dad, shall I put the kettle on?
Yeah.
Then I give them a hug. It's not like I've just rattled one in off the bar and then I run up and I jump into my mum's arms and she holds me and then my dad ruffles my head. It's just, they're not comparable
things. Well, you do a kind of quite choreographed routine.
I reel my dad in like a fish.
You'd work, Tom.
Absolutely. Anyway, Paul, I did, you know, obviously Andy's not doing every day and people enjoy it when Andy comes off his long run when Chelsea lose or don't perform. And, you know, it was an accident waiting to happen, wasn't it? That Fulham equaliser. And I sort of feel I want to draw out the angry Paul Hawkspear. We know it's in there somewhere.
Well, at this point, if, in Andy's stead, I should say that I hope Fulham don't win another game ever and they go down, even though I don't actually feel like that at all, and that Tottenham will be in the blue square. That bad, it's a league that doesn't exist within 5 years. But I don't think any of those things. But it's interesting. My son, who was at work late last night, my youngest boy, and he couldn't watch the game. So he said, how's it looking about 70 minutes? And I said, well, it's actually looking like we're in danger of equalising in the next 10 minutes. And there'll be no time left for us to get an equaliser when he suddenly decides to sling on three attackers. So I said, you know, the usual.
Yeah.
And what happened? I think we could all see it coming, and we're back in that situation. Just Jose again, he said yesterday, he kind of says it was bad work by the players. Nothing to do with me, Gov. The players didn't do their jobs. He says some things ought to do with organisation of the team, but other things ought to do with individual skills and ability, and it's as simple as that. Well, it's also to do with attitude, approach, intent and team selection.
Absolutely.
And I think he came up short in quite a few of those areas.
And the changes. And look, Spurs attack until they score. So last night they attacked until, when did he score? Half an hour in, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they attacked. But against Wolves, they attacked until they scored, which was 1 minute.
Mm.
And then they just don't control the game. I mean, Fulham did play well, but like you said before the show, Spurs let...
They did let.
Well.
I mean, we've heard this a lot from teams who've played Spurs. They said, well, they deserve their equaliser. They had so much of the ball. They had so much possession. But so what? If you stand off a team and you give them 65% of the ball for about 40 minutes, I mean, Polytechnic, your boys would look good,
steady,
really.
Steady.
No one's going to take the ball off you. They're just sitting there. It's a frustration that Jamie O'Hara was on Breakfast talking about it. We don't quite have the defence that he's been used to over the years to play that way. Yet still, we play that way. Maybe it is the players doing it themselves. It would be very odd that they would completely defy all of his instructions and go out there and plan that way. If you're 2-0 up, play that way. It's not easy on the eye. It is, you know, it's not great to watch, but if you're 2-0 up, I think most people would take that. If you're 1-0 up, there's always a chance that a team who've got a lot of the ball and are on the front foot, it emboldens teams.
Totally.
The
you
way that Tottenham
confidence.
Play, of course yeah. it does. You know, if Tottenham had scored gone and got a second goal, and possibly even a third, that would have been it. Scott Parker would have been thinking, oh, we'll get through this one and we'll go again. A lot of the players mentally would have been as well. But
I agree.
At 1-0, with a lot of the ball and a chance to play themselves into a game, like other teams, they will always do that. It is incredibly frustrating. The team selection, when I think all Tottenham fans looked at the team and thought, probably, can we get a couple more defensive midfield players in there? Sissoko on right wing and Winks and Ndombele. And you're thinking, what's the thinking here? Well, they did have some attacking options there.
Are you saying Jose out Steve Bruce in to make us more attacking?
Well, it was a very similar conversation to the one we had with Oscar Paul yesterday about Newcastle when their game against Sheffield United. And I did love that first moment of the second half when Musa went on this incredible run. What he looked like, and he was desperate for someone to tackle him because he knew any minute he was going to hit it over the bar.
Well, the one where he just ran out of pitch.
Yeah, he just kept running. It was, do you know, like, it was almost like a bunch of mates had an afternoon in the pub and they started talking about the goal that Maradona scored in 86 against England, the second goal. And one of them said, go on, I'll show you. And then went out and then weaved like an old drunk from the right-hand side, edging towards the goal. It was like a drunken phoenix from the flames. It was, I mean, you know, Moussa was thinking, oh, please tackle me. I'm only going to be embarrassed myself in a minute when I try and shoot. Thankfully, someone put him out of his misery. And look, I'm not blaming him. I don't think he should be on the right wing. If you're going to make attacking changes, make them before the other team have equalised. Tottenham seem to sit there and wait for the other team to equalise. I don't quite know what the answer is, but I do not think the manager is blameless.
He's got to go.
No, I'm not saying that. He just isn't blameless. You know, this is not about players. I tell the players to go and do this. They don't do it. That's not my fault. I think we could see quite a lot of other things yesterday that you could put down to the manager. God, it's a hard watch as well.
Oh, yeah.
Not because it's not great to watch. There's moments of it. There's a lovely goal. Brilliant cross by Reguilon. Great ball by Højbjerg and a fantastic header. But we don't really see enough of that in games. A lot of it is just sitting back and soaking it up. It's boring to watch. And it's very tense at 1-0. Yeah. It's heart attack country. Every game is the same. It's Puxatawny Phil Mourinho. It's Groundhog Day.
I think you did a great job. That was I enjoyed that.
Okay, well, by the way, Fulham lose every game for the rest of the season. We'll be in the blue square within... No,
did you
I don't,
find it, did you
I
find
don't,
it cathartic?
I don't believe that from a quite like that, Fulham, actually.
Did you find letting that out cathartic or not really?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay,
as I said, I've got nothing stunningly original to bring to you. If you want it, every Tottenham fan is saying exactly the same thing on any social media outlet or phone in that you like. So I can't bring anything stunningly original to the party. I can just vent in the way that they do, really.
I'm getting a lot of criticism for saying you can't compare the two. It doesn't mean... you can have a really serious debate about whether football should carry on. I totally understand that debate about, you know, hugging people, right? Mm. You know, I can totally understand people saying it shouldn't happen at all. But whether they hug each other or not, when they're in dressing rooms together, when they're travelling together and all these things... it's that's not, you know, that isn't the biggest issue. I understand, you know, lots of people in very difficult positions. We all want to hug our families. Don't understand this wrong. It's just comparing that moment to our all our family situations is, it's just, they're just different.
Surely the mindset of every player should be celebrate a goal like you're playing against one of your old clubs.
Absolutely right, yeah.
And then it's like you put your hands in the air and you don't celebrate at all. You put you apologise to a non-existent crowd and you just walk away, pushing away your teammates.
It's true, except for Will Grigg, who once, I can't remember who he was playing against, but he did that hands in the air.
Adebayor, of course.
Well, not Adebayor, but Will Grigg lulled the opposition by putting his hands in the air and they all went, oh, that's very respectful. Then he ran off celebrating. Right. I can't remember who he was playing against.
So he apologised, but then he did it anyway.
Yeah. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We asked you earlier on for some things that weren't in your job description. Thank you for all of those. We'll get through those certainly over the next hour and a bit. But I noticed a little transfer. We can make him on the transfers later, but transfer story of the day involved a young Chelsea player who has made a permanent transfer to the League One side, MK Dons. His name is Charlie Brown.
Okay.
Is Charlie Brown, does that mean anything to you?
It's Peanuts. Snoopy, right?
That's good. That's interesting because it's a bit of a cultural reference, and it did strike me that wouldn't it be brilliant to follow Charlie now that he's gone to MK Dons in cartoon form with a series that we're calling You're Going to MK Dons, Charlie Brown. That's the Charlie Brown music.
Yeah, you see, that doesn't register. It was really early on. I was saying to you earlier, wasn't I, Paul, that I am a listen to this program. If I'm not doing it, I'm listening to it. I think you do a very good radio program, Paul. and there are lots of references that go completely over my head.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think for people who understand the references, they're very pleased with it because they're part of the show. And for those who don't get it, it's good for me because it makes me feel young.
That's good.
And I don't often feel young.
That's so nice. It makes both ways. I don't get that. I feel young.
And when Martin Kelm was on and the three of you together, I've not got a clue what you're talking about, but I find it thoroughly entertaining.
On that subject of not picking up on the references, we had a clip last Friday. Andy Goldstein was chatting to Jamie O'Hara. I don't know if you heard it, did you?
I did hear this.
If you didn't hear it, folks, this was they got talking comedy and Andy had a few questions for Jamie.
You've heard of Morecambe and Wise, yeah?
No. Morecambe and Wise?
What?
What was that, beer?
Morecambe and Wise.
Nah, never heard of it.
You've not heard of Morecambe and Eric Morecambe, Ernie Wise?
I haven't heard of Morecambe and Wise, so I wouldn't have heard of the other names.
They're the same people.
Right.
Tommy Cooper you've heard of?
No. Tommy Cooper. No, I don't know them. But they're old, though. Is that old?
It's 70s and 80s.
Yeah, so why would I know them? You know, Jason McIntyre, Lee Evans.
Good old Jason McIntyre. Well, anyway, we went down that route. But it did strike me that when Jamie's back in management, whoever he's managing, you know, it may be that two players are scouted and they say, there's two lads. Jamie says, I've seen two lads, I want to sign them. This lad called Eric Morecambe and another lad called Ernie Wise. And it's a boy called Tommy Cooper I'm very interested in. And they could all walk into whichever dressing room that happens to be. And he said, boys, we brought in these three lads. We've got Eric Morecambe, Ernie Wise and Tommy Cooper. Say hello to your new teammates. And there'd probably be a lot of young kids in there thinking, yeah, that doesn't jar with me at all. It
totally
might with
right.
The chairman and the board of directors and some of the older fans.
To be fair, Jamie, when he was doing his, you know, top five midfielders ever, this is when I upset Paul Scholes, and apologies if you're listening, because I was saying, you know, he's on table two for me, not table one.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what about Platini? He went, oh, no, not my era. So it doesn't count. You know, we know football began in 1992, but basically, you know, if it's not in the sphere of Jamie O'Hara, it doesn't exist. I mean, it's a good way to live, I guess, isn't it?
But it did strike me that they must
put the telly on at Christmas once. Yeah. You know.
Is it a beer? I think that was fantastic.
I think it's more impressive to not know who Morecambe and Wise are. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of their work, but I think to have got to that age without knowing any of them is quite an achievement.
The Moose was all used to pride himself on never having watched one episode of The Simpsons. Well, considering there's about 50,000 of them and it's pretty ubiquitous on the telly, that does take some doing. But it did strike me that there's sometimes a reference that means nothing to you, and that could work both ways, from a younger person to an older person and vice versa. I mean, you might have the surname Drake. And some kids may think, well, kids, some people may think that's quite cool, but you're just a bloke called Fred Drake or Charlie Drake, if you want a really old reference. But sometimes, you know, the references work both ways.
But what, is your name Jay-Z, but you don't understand why that's...
Why everybody gets quite... They're your initials. But anyway, it's by the by. But it did strike me that I would love the idea of Jamie. He's never going to get the Luton job, though, is he? Do you get that?
Yes, I do get that.
Eric was a Luton fan.
I also like the fact that when we're working together, you just have to check each reference.
Well, I was impressed you said Peanuts and Charlie Brown because it is very much of its time.
This is why you have such an advantage in the birthday spread. You're just a more experienced human.
I'm older,
you've
mate.
Been
That's
a human
what you mean.
For longer,
I'm older.
Haven't you?
Now, something else we might get you going on, Brom is setting you to work. We will read these out. Have you heard about this computer programmer? He's got a digital wallet. It's got £159 million worth of Bitcoin in it, and he can't remember the password. He lives in San Francisco, Stephen Thomas, and he's got two more goes. I mean, apart from it being an absolutely brilliant game show, but I don't quite know how you do it. It's a great idea. He's got two more goes to get the password right. And he's probably told, it strikes me, he's probably told a lot of people recently, and he said, you know, you're not going to believe this, Dave, but I mean, if he's got mates called Dave, he might have.
Probably.
You're not going to believe this, Eric, Ernie. Boys, you're not going to believe this, Tom. I've got 150. I've got two more goes. And they're going, man, Stefan, that's a lot of pressure. And there'll be a pause and they'll go, have you tried S Thomas 1? No, I've only got two more goes. Have you tried Mum? Have you tried 1, 2, 3, 4? I mean, there must be a lot of people saying, have you tried this? Have you tried that?
I was a best man at a wedding and I had a slideshow. And obviously, like everybody, all my passwords are the same for everything. So the password to get into my laptop is the same, you know.
I felt like an arch criminal. Yeah. All your bank accounts. Yeah,
exactly.
And that password is.
But the computer was at, the laptop was at like up on a high bit, you know, on a sort of overlooking balcony.
Right.
And I had stood there to do that and it wasn't working. So I had to send a mate up and he was like, what's the password? And I had to yell it to the,
and it's all
the
your
entire
passwords.
Wedding. I had to tell the whole... Fortunately, that no one but in the audience stole
I thought you
my
could,
money.
I wonder if you could file that under not very helpful as Dennis Norden. Dennis Norden? I wonder if you could file that one under not very helpful. Because it isn't. Because poor old Stefan at the moment is being inundated. Probably his mum's phoning him up and saying, have you tried Harry Winks... '67 or whatever, you know, things
your
like
your birthday
that.
And your birthday backwards.
Yeah,
Stephen.
Have you some of your favourite players? You know, Derek Jeter, 42, you know, that sort of thing. Anyway, that wasn't very helpful. Let us know, talksport.com/H&J, text 81089. Neither of those are my passwords, by the way. Text 81089, tweet to TSH&J.
Eric Dyer 6.
No, I've not gone down that route.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from Talksport.
Lookman tears down the left of Fulham, swings in a great delivery, and the header is in! And Caballero has nodded it beyond Hugo Lloris, and with 16 minutes to go, Fulham are level in North London. It's Spurs 1, Fulham 1.
Yes, yesterday we were chatting on Paddy Power offering odds at one point. They came in a bit during the day, but if you fancied Brighton to beat City last night at City and Fulham to beat Spurs as a double, you were getting 101-1.
Not a good bet, it turns out.
No,
but still,
I mean,
they
one
gave
up,
it a go.
One ended up being a draw, and you know, 1-0, they kept it pretty respectable. Did Brighton, but they're two clubs you would expect to be sort of, as they say, there or thereabouts towards the bottom of the table towards the end of the season. If that's not being a bit too harsh on, certainly Fulham were putting some results together, getting some draws and fighting their way out of it. So we thought we would invite representatives of both clubs.
Start a rivalry. Brighton-Fulham hatred.
Tell us how they're feeling. A bit of a, you know, as both in reaction last night, to tell us how they're feeling and who they feel is better equipped to stay up. Nick Schepanek is journalist and Brighton fan. Sammy James is from the Fulhamish podcast. Good afternoon, both.
Afternoon, guys. Afternoon, Sammy.
So maybe we should start. Afternoon. We should start, Sammy, with that result. Last oh wow!
is that Nick's the dog? Yes.
No, that's my dog. Sorry,
Sammy. What's the dog called? Is it? Has it got a Fulham-based name?
No, her name's Taffy.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
She just barks if anyone walks past the door. So sorry in advance.
I mean, Adamola or something like that. Exactly. Might have gone down that route. So, this little run of results, it's not wins, which you could probably do with, but draws. But sort of, you must feel as like it's heading in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely heading in the right direction. It's weird to have five draws in a row because you want to say, yeah, we're unbeaten in five, but you could also say we haven't won in seven. So it's kind of six to one, half a dozen the other. But I think some of the performances in that time and some of the teams that we picked up those draws against, obviously one of them was the 1-1 draw against Liverpool, probably should have won that game, really. And then last night against Spurs, had our opportunities towards the end to win it, and such an impressive performance throughout that I think if you look past maybe the actual points tally and look at the actual performances that Fulham are putting in, then... Yeah, us Fulham fans, are rightly over the moon right now.
Meanwhile, Nick, I thought Brighton gave a really good account of themselves, but they got in so many good positions to put the ball in the box and just point blank refused to do it.
Oh, welcome to our world. That's just the story of the season so far. I mean, great up to about 20 yards out, then it all slows down. A certain amount of dithering takes place. I think that, Pep Guardiola's a fan, but if he's such a fan, perhaps he'd like to lend us Raheem Sterling or Phil Foden or something, because it's in those last 20 yards where it all fails to happen, I'm afraid.
Sammy, do you both think there's three clubs kind of worse than your club? I mean, we'll start with you, Sammy. Do you feel that? You look at the table and you think, yeah, I think we'll be all right because they're the three that are going.
I don't know if Fulham will be all right, but definitely I believe that Fulham, there are three weaker teams in this league. If you just look at the strength throughout the squad and look at some of the players that we've got, the likes of Van Gieser and Lookman in the side, I definitely think that there are three weaker teams. Look, Sheffield United do look a bit doomed. Be interesting to see what happens after their win on Tuesday. I never know about West Brom, and we know the Allardyce effect, but still they do look weaker than us. Then it's that kind of, can we catch one of Brighton, Burnley or Newcastle? I still really think that as a Fulham fan, Newcastle are the ones I'm setting my sights on. And I know that Newcastle fans might not be happy to hear that. We play them on the last game of the season. So that potentially could be a massive match if we can pull them into the mire. But I'm just worried that teams like Newcastle do just seem to pick up the odd win here and there. You know, the likes, they went down to Palace, didn't they? Won 2-0 just on the break, caught them on the counter. And that's the kind of win that Newcastle can get. So I do think, though, that we have a chance of staying up if we can just keep up the performances, because they speak for themselves at the moment.
Nick, are your eyes on Newcastle as well?
Very much so. I'll tell you how bad Newcastle are. We beat them, and there's only two teams you can say that. Well, this is the thing, if you look at all the stats, the expected goals for and against, we should be eighth in the table. Only Manchester City and Liverpool have conceded fewer shots on goal. But it's just, and if we do actually manage to score two goals, we seem to concede two as well. So that's what worries me, that on performances, we deserve to be, I'd say not exactly comfortable. Who's ever comfortable in the Premier League? But we need, we deserve to be much higher up the table. But at the moment, I'm with Sammy. I think Newcastle are the team that, if there's one team that, that looks to be out of it at the moment that can be dragged back in, I think it's them.
You'll be looking at your head-to-heads as well, Sammy. You've played already, haven't you? Wasn't it 0-0 just before Christmas, Fulham-Brighton?
Yeah.
Is that right? So the next one's, it's not long, is it, Brighton-Fulham? It's pretty soon. So, I mean, you'll be looking to take points off each other, obviously.
100%. Well,
the game at the Cottage was, once again, summed up our season. Goal disallowed, hit the woodwork. And nearly conceded a goal on the break. if we can just avoid defeat by Fulham, I think, at the Amex, that'll be something.
Wow. You're not saying the Amex. Sammy, what about you? Yeah, you you're feeling confident about taking points off of them in a couple of weeks' time?
I don't know, actually. We didn't play very well against Brighton in that game, and Brighton deserved to win it, and a couple of tight VAR decisions that were correct, but still, they went in our favour that day, and we didn't really create an awful lot against Brighton. So I wouldn't say it's as clean cut that we're going to go down to the Amex and win. I'd like to see us try and play on the counter and maybe get results down there. But I know you guys want a rivalry. So yeah, we're going to go down there and trounce them. I hate everything to do with Brighton.
No, thank you. I know you don't. You're too nice for them. You don't mean
exactly. I think you're right, Sammy.
There isn't a football writer in the country who doesn't like Fulham. I mean, they're a fantastic club to deal with, and the Cottage is a great place to go. But, if it's us or them, I'll hate them if you like.
Yeah. But, I like this friendly rivalry. I mean, I think Anguissa and Lookman have looked really good for Fulham. But Nick, I think you're, you know, Sanchez coming in goal, because I just presumed Matty Ryan was just a complete fixture, but he's played really well, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, Sanchez, I've seen Sanchez for the under-23s. He's different from Ryan in that he comes off his line and, you know, looks confident going for crosses. But and Ryan, you know, was part of this business of us conceding more goals than we should have done. So I think it was possibly a change that needed to be made according to the numbers. And, yeah, you know, it's just seems to be one of the things, you know, when things aren't going right for you, they don't go right for you all over the pitch. I mean, it's true, we don't score enough goals, but, you know, we're very weak from set plays. And, yeah, so it's a lap of the gods. But I think, you know, I don't see us buying a striker in January. I don't think they're going down that way. And, you know, as you say, as been proved by people like Philippe Coutinho, you can buy a striker for all the money you want. It doesn't guarantee you goals. So I think they're going to continue the way they're playing. And there's hope that something happens for them in the other penalty area.
Good
so
stuff.
You.
Well, good to talk to you. Cheers, thanks very much for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Sammy James there from the Fulhamish podcast, and Nick Schepanek, journalist and Brighton fan.
Craig says, references that people don't understand. I said to my 18-year-old apprentice, "I don't believe it." And he replied, "What don't you believe? And why are you saying it like that?" And Chris says, on names that miss a generation, I went to secondary school in 2001 with a boy called Adam Adonance. I'd always make this stand and deliver reference thanks to my stepdad making me listen to his old vinyls. I got nothing for my mates, only the teacher, he said.
Yeah, Adam
Adonance.
The Adonance family. You believe in that? Who's got a surname? At least he didn't go down.
I believe everything that's sent to me.
Didn't go down the four, yeah. Adam and the Ants. I'm not.
You don't believe it?
I'm not calling anyone a liar.
If you want it,
just look that surname up and see if it exists.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, Harry Maguire.
Yes, I'm aware of that. I understand that reference.
Yeah, you've got that one. He's the centre-half, Manchester United. And he says that he recommends that some of his teammates find out, he thinks all footballers, really, should know a little bit about the history of the club they play for. And I suppose they kind of go into the club on match days and they see pictures of famous players. And sometimes in the lounges, and they'll go and get their Man of the Match award and there'll be a famous ex-player. I wonder if any of them go back and then sort of start to Google the names of those people. That guy played for our club. I heard someone say he played 400 times and scored sort of 70 goals. So, but who was he? I wonder how inquisitive they are, because He's gone to the length of saying, I think it's important you understand the history of your club. And he has recommended to teammates that they watch The Lawman, the Dennis Law documentary.
Right, okay, that's good.
Which is currently on Sky. Mm-hmm. And the excellent Three Kings documentary.
All right.
So,
do you think TalkSport, anyone new to TalkSport, should have to read 20 years of TalkSport or Alan Brazil's autobiography before they're allowed? Test.
I think Alan might put them off. Yeah, I'm just wondering, in the sense that you have a sort of citizenship
My wife had to do it. Honestly,
the citizenship test. Maybe there should be a similar thing. I mean, the clubs don't care whether a player knows about the history of the club or not. But the idea that you'd have to answer 10 simplest questions about Arsenal, Chelsea, Man United before you're allowed to sign.
I think so.
It would be interesting, wouldn't it? I mean, basics.
They're very strange, those citizenship tests. You know, like somebody... My wife had to answer questions on, you know, Scottish courts and, you know, like... Offers Dyke and, you know, sort of strange architectural references to Northern Ireland.
Quite a lot of things. Were there stuff in there that you didn't know?
Oh, yeah. No one would pass it unless they studied it for a couple of months. We'd all lose our citizenship. So and then where would we be?
That would work on the basis that quite a lot of people that win citizenship in this country know more about the country than quite a lot of the people.
For quite a short period of time. I think you do forget about
it. You don't
retain
much of it.
No.
She doesn't sort of occasionally hit you with sort of facts that you think, that's amazing.
No, we don't need an interesting life, but it is more interesting than that.
But I do like the idea of, you know, want to sign for Chelsea. Sure. And so, okay, 10 questions. Sit down then. It's Ron Blank Harris. Ron Blank Harris. What was Ron's,
actually, that was
what
the,
was Ron's nickname?
That was the first question I was going to think of for Chelsea.
That's weird,
there
isn't
we
it?
Are.
Yeah,
that's a very good idea.
Manchester United, that would be good, wouldn't it? You'd want to know. And look, it's never going to happen because the clubs don't care.
No, whether we could
the
set the quizzes.
Know about it or not.
I've got an idea that definitely you will say save it for the weekend. But it's good to see Richard Garlick, you know, transferred to Arsenal from, where was he before?
I think he was at the Premier League.
He was at the Premier League to Arsenal. Yeah. Great signing for them. He's probably try and play him in holding midfield, won't they, instead of Granit Xhaka. Can you build a whole... can you make a spaghetti bolognese out of football administrators?
Save it for the weekend, Max. It did strike us, of course. I mean, isn't the chairman of Burnley is Mike Garlick?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like too much garlic, I'll make an exception in this. But I mean, are they related? Are they the Garlick brothers who've gone into the world of football admin? I don't know.
I don't know the answer to these questions. If this was the first question, you know, when Arsenal next try to sign someone,
and they say Richard Garlick's famous brother. That would be if you're signing for Burnley, for example, Mike's. Anyway, forget that.
Do you want some? Do you know it's Percy Tau was playing for Brighton?
Yeah.
Yesterday, so I did some digging about Percy's. I wondered when was the last, because I presume in the 1920s every footballer was called Percy. You know, it's not a very modern name, is it, Percy?
No.
So I got
a
in touch
lot of Percy's
with
out there.
Richard Jolly, who knows these kind of things.
Yeah, he's good for obscure. He did one the other day, didn't he? What was an obscure stat?
Well, Ryan Fraser was the shortest player ever to be sent off in the Premier League, replacing Tarek Lamptey.
That's brilliant.
Midweek, but anyway, Percy's. If you're interested in Percy's, Percy Smith won the league with Blackburn in 1914. Percy Dawson also in the squad, and a Percy has never won the FA Cup since Percy de Paravicini for Old Etonians in 1882.
Wow.
I got in touch with Perry Groves to find out if he was a Percy, but no, he said being a fat ginger kid called Perry was enough.
Percy Groves.
Percival Groves.
I like the idea. A lot of people I saw came back saying all about Robin Van Persie, but that doesn't count.
Doesn't
it's going to be the CY.
And Adam Hurry, who is great at football cliches, said thanks to Percy Tau, steam trains number 1 to 11 from the original Thomas the Tank Engine lineup have now all been represented in the Premier League except for number 8, Duck. That's the only one left.
Really?
You know, because I mean, I can't name all. Can you name all the steam trains? If you want to play for Thomas the Tank Engine, you obviously have to pass that test.
I didn't watch a lot of it. It was my kids weren't as much into it as they could have been.
This is a reverse reference.
I never watched it religiously, I'd say. We asked about some of those obscure references that completely go over your head, which can come from younger people or indeed older people. This one very much from older people. Got any Harolds, says Cameron in Shoreditch in London. Was the thing we'd say if we were cadging a ciggy a few years back? We were no doubt referencing Harold Ragg, a 1920s jockey, because it had been passed down. Partick Thistle, known as the Harry Rags, because it rhymes with Jags, as well as fag. Enjoying the show, says Cameron. But that's a reference, I wouldn't have a clue. I mean, I'd probably guess. I'd work it out, but I wouldn't have a clue what it was.
This is from Dickie, who says, yeah, breaking news, Manchester City have today pulled out of a deal to sign Lionel Messi after he failed to recognise Paul Dickov in a photo lineup. Yeah, absolutely right. What should the questions be?
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it, Lionel? Arsenal, just finish this song. Feed the goat, feed the goat, feed the goat, and he will do what, Lionel?
Craig says,
question four.
Please stop saying Percy. I'm on a diet and I'm walking around M&S listening to this show.
Oh, yes, it's not good.
Many apologies.
Port Vale's chief executive is Colin Garlick. Says,
stop it.
What is it about the garlic takeover of football admin?
Why are there no onions and gingers running football? Why is it purely garlic?
Because, well, simply garlic is a slightly more common name than onion. Or you've got Graham Onions, of course, but absolutely. I don't know if he's thinking of going into cricket admin. You possibly will get yourself a nice bolognese out of this.
I've got some news for you, Paul, which is Ricky Gervais is writing in the Star. He's so lazy, he refuses to work past 3 p.m.
Yeah.
And he is, I would say, marginally more successful than me. He says, I'm so lazy, I work such short hours that I've got to be twice as good to come out of it as good. I love working, but at 3 or 4 o'clock, I think that's enough. So I'm now going to adopt
The
3 o'clock rule, so I'm done. I'll sit here.
Well, it's good you've given me an extra 13 minutes. God bless you.
I planned to read this out earlier in the show, but there we are.
You've slightly killed your own gag there, haven't you, by not
that's
doing
okay.
It.
Don't bring it up. No one will notice.
If you do want to set any questions for players joining in that kind of football citizenship test, I mean, our own Johnny Owen has given us one of the films that Harry Maguire says that the Manchester United newbies. Ahmed Diallo tonight, he's going to go home, isn't he? Their new winger. He's going to go back tonight, he's going to sit, he's going to watch The Lawman. He'd learn a lot from it. There's nothing wrong with that. It would be great, wouldn't it? That's what we always want. We want the players to be as invested in our club as we are. And that's never going
to
be
the
case.
They need to understand the DNA of the club, Paul. Yeah. Otherwise, what can they possibly do? If they don't understand, that's why I always find it very strange when they talk about, you know, Lampard understands the DNA of Chelsea and Solskjaer understands the DNA of Manchester United. Is the DNA massively different between the two? Or is it not a football stadium and a pitch and some people running around trying to score?
If you're going to strip it down to that, we might as well not be here. Because all the romance has gone out of it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Comedian Dane Baptiste. Good afternoon, Dane.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you guys doing? You well?
Yeah, we're not too bad. Thank you. We're not too bad. So, Bamus is your show.
Yes, indeed. Bamus is my show. How to describe it? Bamus, I guess, is to comedy and to black creativity what Soccer AM is to like football. So, almost like an online magazine where we cover like the movers and shakers within black and British culture, as they're not mutually exclusive. And we celebrate people that have contributed effectively to the culture and to the country. And it's all done through our league table, which we refer to as the NAS Black, which is very similar to the NAS Black. But I feel like the clue's in the name. So you know what that's about.
Right.
It's a good show and I encourage everyone to watch it.
As someone who's presented Soccer AM from 2008 to 2015, I'm very much hoping...
The glory years.
Were the glory years in the same... Are we currently in the glory years of Bamus, would you say?
Definitely, yeah. I think especially previous year has been the one about flux and has very much brought to the fore conversations about diversity, inclusion and about equality and race relations in general. You can see that being reflected in some of the conversations being had within football as well as on the pitch, very obviously. And yeah, we're just kind of continuing the conversation and recognising the value of even football players outside of football as well. So it won't be surprising for you guys to know that Marcus Rashford currently sits at the top of the NAS Black.
Yeah, rightly so. How when you're having the meetings about what you talk about, like how sensitively do you know? Presumably, as a comedian, you want to think you can joke about everything, but you're talking about a subject that is very sensitive, and we've talked about it a lot here. And you know, we talked before about exactly how we want to articulate things correctly because we're talking about important subjects.
I think I've always kind of been aware of the sensitivity of people. I feel like as a comedian, I probably have been a lot more surprised by how much more sensitive and I guess how more, volatile conversations regarding race relations have become in the UK over maybe the last decade or so. So I always use comedy as kind of as the icebreaker. I think, you know, we have the saying, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. And I think that's always been the approach of British people in general, is to be able to use humour and sarcasm as a way of tackling taboo subjects. And Bamus is no different. It's very blunt. It's very on the nose in terms of what it's discussing. But we do find a way in it where we're not out here just trying to accuse audience members of racial ignorance. It's really more about an inclusive conversation, which I think you need in order for this conversation to be done perfectly, properly.
Yeah, totally. And do you feel like we're going in the right direction. You know, like social media has lots of positives, but it also, you know, it can bring a lot of people together, let's be honest, who are racist. Like there are, you know, I don't know, in the conversations I've had, I don't know if we are, like, by having these conversations, we need to have them, but if we are in a better place than we were 20 years ago or not.
If I'm honest, I probably wouldn't say when I say in a better place. I think we probably returned back to the conversation we began 20 or so years ago. And in some ways, it's intensified, because that's what happens with social media, is that it brings democracy. So you're getting a number of different voices, and some of those are going to be detractors, which are more extreme than others. And you'll have some voices that actually don't want to engage with those people. So I'm not sure if things have necessarily gotten worse. I think maybe the landscape for the conversation has changed somewhat. So I feel like things are changing, and that's probably more of a function of how society is changing as well. So I think with a sport as inclusive as football, there's a massive opportunity for inclusion and for an inclusive conversation to take place. And I think now, even though it might seem in some ways you still have a big contingent of detractors, whether they like it or not, this conversation needs to be had. And I think if you look at football from a competitive standpoint, I think English football in particular definitely has to concede that without inclusion of whether it's players and staff members, then it's only going to lead to, you know, underwhelming performances from the national team and from, you know, players within the leagues respectively.
So it's on the iPlayer, Dane, and it's but it's on next week, is that right? It's on next Tuesday on BBC One.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's currently available on the iPlayer, so please do check it out, with a TV license, of course. But for anyone who wants to view it on Apple TV, it will be on BBC One at 10:45 next Tuesday on the 19th, so people can check it out then as well. But yeah, feel free to check it out twice, and you know, it's online, so people let me know what you think, especially those who may feel there's people missing from the NASBLAC. You know, we want to include a lot of greats, like, you know, your Junior Blissets and your John Regis's, etc. So yeah, essentially, you know, it's a democratic process with Bemis, and I, as a comedian, get to get involved in honest politics, and therefore I'm a civil servant, so I'm a man of the people. So whatever people think, they can let me know by watching the show.
Good stuff. Now, you do some, we've talked football with you before, and you do some good football bits. And I was watching a little bit earlier on, saying, I mean, I don't want to take your material away, but it's out there in the public domain. But it was a lovely bit you did. You said you don't like getting into arguments about football and who was better in football, because if you ever had a fight and it went to court, there's no way that player's going to turn up and defend you, which I thought was quite an interesting idea, wasn't it? The idea of call Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Harry Kane.
Showing up. Stop the proceedings. I know that man. Yeah. He's a good man.
Yeah, and I was better than that man. No, you weren't, sir. And that, well, yeah, it's a nice idea that the players would step up to some sort of expert witness, and who was the better centre-half.
At least they'd call this radio station when you're doing, you know, top five midfielders. Skulls would ring up and say, no, actually, I was better than Beckham in the class of 92.
A jury of their real peers in court, that would be good. I'd see that.
Who's the best if it turns to... I mean, so what what about Arsenal? What about... I mean, look, things have picked up. It feels a very different landscape a couple of weeks on, and I'm going to imagine that, you never know with Palace, because when they turn it on, they've got the weapons, but I would imagine the expectation is tonight that Arsenal get three more points.
I'd like to think so, yeah. I mean, as the commonality between both of these teams in this London derby is that, you know, they do sometimes characteristically underperform, and then they surprise us when we least expect it. I think with Arsenal, they seem to be following a very similar pattern, where we do kind of see nigh on abysmal performances in the run up towards Christmas, and then towards the new year, they tend to do recover and begin to like climb up the table. It's not very good from a cardiovascular perspective for Arsenal supporters, but I'm relatively optimistic. I know obviously Crystal Palace do have a few danger men in the form of Wilfred Zaha, Ayew, etc., and then, you know, who knows what Benteke will put at his locker. But at the moment, I think with the current form, particularly with some of Arsenal's youth, I think we have a really, really good chance. And I think if we do start off well and solid, then I would expect a positive result, as I said, because, you know, seeing some of the performances, some of Arsenal's younger squad members, particularly Bakayo Saka, for example, I think is just a revelation.
Yeah.
I'm pretty optimistic, and also I'm realistic in terms of the fact that you know, however Arsenal performed this summer, I really do I'm very optimistic about Mikel Arteta's dedication and his passion for the team, and how he's able to identify players. And I think moving forward, I think with enough time, we can continue to see that a positive trend continue. Fingers crossed.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Here we go then, Andy. You set another birthday spread. He'll be back tomorrow in the studio, but he set a birthday spread. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon. Enjoying the show. It's been fun, actually.
What, a solid 6 out of 10, would you say?
I'd say higher.
Okay.
What do you think of making a spaghetti bolognese out of sports administrators? Paul's not on board with that
one. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Jeff Peters is our official scorer once again after some pretty shonky scoring that was a pretty sad indictment of the British education system. Mm. Not just us, the oldies, but also our producer. Terrible maths. But Jeff Peters is on board with his calculator. He's ready to go. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the nerve centre.
That's right. You got your effects.
I did have, but they've just suddenly stopped working for some reason.
We'll get them on in a minute. It was a lovely image.
There we go.
Now I feel alive.
They're back.
It's marvellous, isn't it? Honestly, I should say that Jeff has been insisting. Two producers have contacted me and said, can Jeff have a list, a prior list of all the birthdays and the ages? And I went, no, of course he can't.
Just to speed up the scoring, that was all.
No. But it would mean me sitting down and having to type out a list of
names. He's not prepared to put that kind of effort in. So anyway, the way it works is this. 10 birthdays from Andy. Max and I have got to guess how old these people are. You can certainly play along at home. Some you'll know, some you won't. Andy will have a gilt edge gag for each one of them. He promises that's a cast iron guarantee. Or your money back.
I'm parking the bus today. Yeah, I went full Bielsa last week. It was a disaster. I felt terrible. I really let the fans down. So I'm going
to. And we have to try and guess how old these people are. The smallest margin of error at the end of it, one with the lowest score, effectively, is the winner. Yeah,
Steve has tweeted me to remind me that the lowest score wins.
That's the key. Because you want to be a few years out with all these 10 birthdays with the margin of error. Anyway, it all makes sense as we go. And where's Pele? Here he is, Andy, birthday.
Good old Pele. A very happy birthday to the guitarist and producer, Jimmy Page.
Wow.
Jimmy Page. And me and Jimmy, I don't know if you saw this, we went on Dragon's Den with the portable steps that we invented and used at the presenter's house. Yes, we provided a stairway to heaven.
Oh, about that. Okay. Yeah. Jimmy Page is the guitarist for Led Zeppelin.
Are you going first, Paul?
Who's going first? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, why not?
Jimmy, I'd say, is probably older than he looks still. 72.
I made a mistake because I knew who Jimmy Page was. I should have gone first because next one will be, Bethel Wilmot. And I've not got, anyway. 74.
What is he, Andy?
He's 77.
Wow, because he looks quite youthful. The hair's still long, you see.
It's a terrible start from Hawksby, but there's plenty of time.
Yeah, okay, so what's the score at the moment, Jeff? Quite an easy one for you.
Yeah, it's Paul 5, Max 3. Yes. Max in the lead.
Okay, here we go. Keep going.
And next one. It's a happy birthday to the novelist Bethel Wilmot.
I love her work.
It's not, is it? I told you he was cheating. I told you he was cheating.
It's Baroness Sally Hamwee. Sally Hamwee, the chairman of the London Assembly, 2001 to 2008. And she comes with her own football song. I don't know if you've heard it. Hamwee hear the Baroness sing, I can't hear up.
Yeah, good.
Do-da, do-do-da,
finish that one.
I really wish it's any do-da, do-do-da, do-da.
I wish you'd gone for it there, Andy. I wish you'd just gone full potty mouth. Why not? Baroness Sally, whatever she's called, is...
Hamwee.
Is... 75.
Okay, 2001 to 2008 were her years. Yeah, I'd go around that. I'm gonna go 77.
You're such a safe player. I know where he's going.
So I'm playing safe.
She's 74, the old Baroness.
Okay, so I think that means Jeff. He's still in the lead, isn't he?
Yeah. So Paul is 3 out. That takes him to 8, and Max is 1 out. That takes him to 4. So Max in the lead.
The scoring sounds quite simple.
I still think round by round is more thrilling, but never mind.
Okay, here we go.
It's a very, very happy birthday to the fine comedy actress from Cheers, Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley.
Yeah. I played in a charity match, Bunbury game, with her and Alex Stewart. It really got quite tedious when he kept wicket to her. Bowling Alley.
Beautiful. 66. 69, I'm going to go.
I think you've over-clubbed there.
Yeah,
Paul.
You think so?
I really do.
She's a bit younger, yeah.
I think she's about 62.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not having a good game today, but what's the answer?
No. 70, Kirsty.
Oh,
she's
no!
70.
Oh,
you got into me head then, mate.
I really did. I've let myself down. Once again, I should have just gone 2 years below. I was winning. Oh,
okay.
It's a disaster.
So, Jeff, what's that done to the scores?
So, Paul is one out. Max is eight out. Paul has nine. Max now in second place with 12.
Losing. Losing, I think, is what you mean, isn't it? So, here we go. Andy, next birthday. Four.
Yes, happy birthday to the TV producer, screenwriter and creator of Grey's Anatomy from 2015 to 2020, Shonda Rhimes. Shonda Rhimes. The screenwriter and producer. Yeah. And Nigel Botherway invited her to his Christmas party with top angler Will Raisin.
Oh, yeah.
But neither of them turned up. Please. There was no rant or Raisin. Thank you.
God, blimey. Will Raisin is a real bloke, by the way. He's not making these names up.
As Paul said to me on Tuesday, you do know you're on national radio. But anyway, 58.
58.
Shonda Rhimes.
Shonda Rhimes was the person who developed 66.
Ooh, 51.
Ooh.
No.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Ooh, that could be a game changer.
Well, not really. Only if Max. We'll see. Let's see what happens. I'm not saying anything.
I think you're very complacent, Paul.
Okay. So what's that done at the scores, Jeff?
So after four rounds, Paul is 15 out on that one. Max is 7 out. Paul on 24. Max back in the lead with 19.
Oh, it's nip and tuck. Andy, what's the next birthday? Number five.
It's we've interviewed him before. A sporting great, George Foreman. Boxer and entrepreneur. And I don't know if you know that George was going to go on I'm a Celebrity until the producers refused to let him have his favourite dessert. He said, I'm not doing it without a crumble in the jungle.
Blimey.
There we are. Jeff. Steve says, go on, Max. I've got someone supporting
me. Oh, let's go with this. Pity. Hashtag team Max.
Pity tweets, I'm guessing
79.
Now.
No,
I think it's...
Oh, is you, is it you first?
It's me.
Oh, it is you first. I do apologise. No, you can go. Okay. You know what I'm going for. I could have just been messing with your head.
I was going to say 78, but I... You know,
no, you go 78.
I hope you trust me on that. I was going to say 78.
Well, I'll go one higher. 80. I'm going to go 80 blind 80.
George Foreman, blimey, I know, he's 72.
Oh, really? Sorry, I just keep seeing people as older. I don't know what it is today. 72, so that's a disaster for me, but I can't...
Maybe because you're sitting next to someone so young for once. Maybe it's just changed everything.
Yeah, it's just skewed my view of the world, yeah. So what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Well, you're 8 out, Paul, so you're on 32. Max, did you say 79?
I said 78.
Oh, you said 78, yeah. So you're 2 out. Well, Max, you are building up a lead here. Paul on 32, Max on 21.
I wasn't okay. 2 out. He's 72. I was 6 out.
Oh, sorry. Well, I beg your pardon.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Can you do the math? Okay. Don't just apologise. Yeah. You have to then do the scores, Jeff.
For some reason, I had 79 in my head, so 6 out. So you're on 25. So there's still 7 between you. Max in the lead.
Can I just check? Sorry. Did you mark Paul from 72 or did you mark him from 79?
No, I did do him from 72. Oh, okay.
So competitive. Yeah.
Well, I had a terrible time last week. There's no point
How
playing.
How is this better than round by round scoring?
this is not the time to question the old concept of the game. Okay, here we go, Andy. What's the next one?
It's a very happy birthday to the families. He's done quite well recently.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Bezos.
Done quite well recently. Yeah.
I bought him a lovely present for his birthday before lockdown, but I'm not sure how to get it to him.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, just sling it over his fence. I'd say how he likes it. No, of course not. Doing a fine job. That's mine getting chucked over the fence next time. Jeff Bezos is 53.
I think that's quite good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that is good. I'll say 55.
55. Okay. What is it, Jeff?
Oh, he's 57.
Okay, he's nerdling now. Absolutely. He's just nerdling.
Like,
he's just little singles, little ones and twos. Absolutely. He's getting Max. Mm. So he's still in the lead, Jeff, isn't he?
Yeah. So Paul, you're 4 out. Max is 2 out. Yeah. It's Paul 36, Max 27.
Okay,
still time. There's always time for a Bethel Wilmot.
Max is first. Here we go.
it's another writer, not Bethel. Of Norwegian wood, the great Japanese writer Haruki Murakami. Haruki Murakami. He's very popular. He's got with a group of English fans who follow him absolutely everywhere. Where we come from, Murakami Army.
Very good. Yes.
Right. Here's a bit of a shot in the dark. 54.
I think it might be a bit older. 65.
Ooh, this could be interesting. He's 72.
Ooh, suddenly it's game on.
Oh, dear.
Game on. Okay.
Are you with us, Jeff? I know it's a big one.
Right, Jeff, I know it's quite a lot of maths to do. He's had to take his shoes and socks off for this one.
Well, it is when Max is so far out. I have to work out. Yeah. So, Paul, you're 7 out. Max is 18 out. Oh. So now it's 45-43. Oh, Paul is now in the lead.
What a game this is.
It's a thriller.
If you're driving, you might want to pull over. So don't worry about any car accidents.
Come on. Oh, the tension is totally bearable.
So one of the listeners says, I take it Andy's writers have been first. Furloughed. Very good. Very good. Shouldn't put their name on it. So. Go on then. Next birthday.
Ainsley Dunbar, the fine drummer. Oh, Ainsley Dunbar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got sent off actually in a charity game after clashing with him. He hit me first, but I was the one who got the red card for Ainsley Dunbar retaliation.
Ooh,
thank you.
That's very good. Ainsley was in, I think that Ainsley Dunbar was in Aswad and was in a show called The Double Deckers as a kid. Okay, man.
But his famous band, the Ainsley Dunbar Retaliation.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. I think the right person. Yeah, I think I am. Yeah, I'm not going
drummer,
mad.
Drummer, Ainsley Dunbar.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Ainsley Dunbar, 62. What do you think?
Well, I did have now 12, so I've got some Aswad knowledge. But I didn't get their ages in 1989. So that's a mistake of mine back then. But you can't.
I'm thinking of completely the wrong person as well. So I've got that horribly wrong. I've got that horribly wrong. I was thinking of someone else.
Oh,
clearly, because
really?
He was not in the double deck. Not in Aswad.
So yeah. Producer saying, wrap this up. Don't know if this is the best bit.
He wasn't in Ready, Steady, Cook either.
66.
What is he, Andy?
75.
75, yeah. He played with Frank Zappa. Completely the wrong bloke. I don't know why. It just suddenly came into my head.
That's okay.
Okay.
So, so Paul is 13 out. Yeah. Max is 9 out. Paul on 56. Max 54. It's turned round again. Max back in the lead.
This is so good.
What's next?
It's Joan Baez. I'm always very wary of... Joan Baez, the singer, I should say. I'm sure you know, Paul, but for Max's sake, Joan
Thanks
Baez.
So much.
I'm always very wary of getting her a present. As last year, she flung it right back in my face. So I always say, Baez, beware.
Okay, yeah. Joan Baez.
You got nothing from Paul there.
I
know that feeling, Andy.
No, it's good. Nothing new there. I've got caught up in the competition and my lack of Ainsley
Dunbar. All right,
Dunbar
then. Cheers, Andy. Cheers for that one. Good effort. Joan Baez.
Yeah.
78.
Okay, going to have buyer's remorse, you are. Because I'd say, I'm doing them now. She's 84.
Joan Baez is, I've lost her, there she is, 80.
80, oh, okay, right. So is it what, one left, two left, or what?
One left after this.
Last one.
Here we go.
Last
right,
one,
so
one.
It's Paul on 60, Max on 56, only four between you.
56. And do I go first this time?
Yes, you go first. Okay. Okay. So I could play dirty.
You could play. Okay, here we go then. 60.
No, should it be Max going first on this last one? Because you went first on the first one.
Me, Max.
Well, I guess join right.
It's Max. It is
okay,
Max.
Fine,
yeah,
right,
it doesn't matter. Yeah, you've
got to have a system.
Okay. Well, not this system.
Final birthday of the day.
Bethel
is the guitarist and singer from the Bangles, Vicky Peterson. Peterson. And Vicky's just re-recorded a version of her biggest hit with the former Ipswich midfielder, John Walk Like an Egyptian.
Fantastic.
For the wind and the rain.
Known as VP. Right. In the band, yeah.
Guitarist in the Bangles.
Guitarist in the Bangles. Yeah. Go on, Max. Times are pressing.
Yeah, this matters, Paul.
Not really. not massively.
No, not really.
Yeah.
56.
56. I'd go, four out. I'll go 60.
She is, hold on, she's 63.
Oh, so I might have made it a draw, haven't I? I've made it a draw.
It's a replay.
No, I like a draw. Oh, I think okay. I've made it interesting. Yeah, I should have gone.
Well, I've got tiebreakers. I rejected three gags.
The producer's got his head in his hands. Go on, let's have a quick tiebreaker. It's a draw, Jeff. Can you confirm it's a draw?
It's a 63 apiece.
Okay, this is the tiebreaker. I goes first. Here we go then. Quickly, Andy.
Okay,
very
quickly.
Write them down, a draw.
The actress,
all right.
Anna Calder Marshall. Anna Calder Marshall.
Anna Calder Marshall, did she?
Yes. Well, basically, she helped deliver my firstborn. Anna Calder Midwife.
Okay.
Do you know who she is? I've never heard
of
her.
Do you know what? I know the name really well, but I can't think. Okay, we're going to write a number down, myself and Max.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to go... okay, I've written down...
I've written 41.
I've written 69.
No. She's 74. Oh, well, 74.
Come on. Come on. Well, look, times are pressing. Thank you once again, Jeff.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you. Top work.
Thank you, Andy.
And thank you, Andy. You're back tomorrow for one.
Pleasure. I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, good. There we are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I nicked it at the death there, didn't I? Just nicked it at the
honestly,
death.
Honestly, but I feel like after last week, I did myself justice. I think the fans can go home happy knowing that I put in a good performance.
Yeah. I think there's absolutely no disgrace in the way you
lost.
We go again next week. So thanks for listening. Andy returns tomorrow for one. We'll have the clips of the week and lots more besides. Have a good evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.